can be seated. You can be seated, and I invite you to open your Bibles to John chapter 4. I'm going to be short since we already had about three sermonettes. That was intentional. I'm so glad to have my brothers in the house this morning. John chapter 4. If you don't have a Bible, there's some black Bibles underneath your chairs, and it's on page 888, John chapter 4. This is actually the text 1 year ago that I preached from on our very first Sunday, and so I just wanted to revisit it again. This day, John chapter 4, page 888 in the black Bibles underneath your chairs. I'll give you just a minute to find your place. I'm going to read a lengthy section here, a little scene from Jesus' life. And when we read these scenes from Jesus' life, it's good to always put ourselves in the shoes of the people in the story. Maybe this morning you'll put yourself in the shoes of this woman that Jesus encounters, or maybe this morning you'll put yourself in the shoes of the disciples who Jesus was talking with. So John chapter 4, picking up in verse 1. Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you the living water." Verse 11, the woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Verse 15, the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." And Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place that people ought to worship." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called the Christ. And when he comes, he will tell us all things." And Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Verse 27, just then his disciples came back and they marveled that he was talking with a woman. But no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" So the woman left her water jar and went into town and said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" And they went out. They went out of the town they were coming to. And scroll down to verse 39. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him and they asked to stay with him, he stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said we believe, for we have heard for ourselves. And we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." Let's pray. Father, we pray by your Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. This woman's story, I think many of our stories are similar. You heard what Jesus said, what Jesus knew about the woman, and he spoke, he kept it real. He just spoke right to her heart. He said, go and call your husband. And she said, I don't have a husband. And he's like, I know. You've had five husbands. And the one that you're living with now, she's not your husband. What is that a picture of? That's a picture of what happens in all of our lives. There's a seeking, but is there a finding? There's a thirsting, but is there a drinking? You see, this woman was looking for what we're all looking for, is this fulfillment down in the core of who we are. This woman was longing for satisfaction, and she thought she could find it in a spouse, in a husband. She thought she could find it in a lover. She thought she could find it in a mere mortal, and she was not finding it. So she was going from husband to husband to husband. And for some of us, that's our story this morning. It may not be multiple husbands, but maybe it's multiple jobs. And we just think if we could just find ourselves in just the right job with just the right boss, with just the right paycheck, we're going to be fulfilled. We're going to be happy. We're going to be satisfied. And we too are searching. We too we're thirsting. Maybe for you, it's you're looking for it in your kids. It's like you're raising your kids, and if you can get them to make the right grades and get the right friends and make all the teams or hit all the home runs or, you know, dunk all the baskets, you know, like whatever it is. But you, in our heart and in our soul, we're looking for fulfillment often in the success of our kids. Success of jobs, success of kids, spouses. And friends, I love you. And I want to tell you this morning that you can't find satisfaction in any of those things. You can't find fulfillment in any of those things. But the God who loves you, he wants to come alongside and he wants to say to you today, I want to give you living water. That if you drink of this living water, you'll never be thirsty again. And the woman was like, whoa, really? Where are you going to get that water? And he's like, it's me. I who speak to you am he, Jesus said. I'm he. It's interesting that as he's talking about with this woman, he's talking about this thirsting that she was going through, this seeking that she was going through. She was seeking and not finding. She was thirsting and not drinking. She was hungering in the core of who she was, but she was not feasting yet. It's interesting that he went right from that conversation to a conversation about worship, isn't it? Because what we're seeking and what we're thirsting and where we're trying to find satisfaction, we actually make the object of our worship. It actually becomes an idol in our life. So whether it's our kids or whether it's our jobs or whether it's our spouse, wherever we're looking in life to find fulfillment and to find satisfaction, that becomes our God. But listen, every God other than Jesus is going to let you down. Every God other than Jesus, whatever little idol you make in your own life, whether it's comfort or ease or vacation or a big, whatever it is that you're looking for, it's going to let you down. It's not going to satisfy. You're going to be disappointed. And you're going to find yourself one day far from God, empty, broken. And some of you this morning, that's right where you find yourself today. You're like, man, I am that woman. I've been looking and looking and looking and not finding. Well, Jesus is stepping into your story today. And Jesus wants to tell you today, I want to satisfy your heart. I want to give you living water. And what else does he say? Look at what the people believe. Look back at verse 39 with me. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with him. They stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of his word. What did they believe? They believed that Jesus was the Christ. Jesus was the Savior. Jesus is the one that can satisfy. Look at verse 42. Then they said to the woman, it's no longer because of what you said we believe, for we have heard ourselves, and we know that this is indeed, look at this, the Savior of the world. Jesus can save you from your searching that's not satisfying. He can end it today for you. Jesus can save you from your sin. The penalty of your sin that weighs heavy on you in shame and guilt, Jesus can save you. That's why he died on the cross. That's why he bore our sin. And that's why he rose from the dead, to pay the penalty for our sin, rising from the dead to give us eternal life, hope of heaven, and happiness in our heart that's not contingent upon circumstances. That's what Jesus gives. That's what living water is. It's alive. It bubbles up. It wells up. And it makes you happy in him. Now, there's debates about joy and happiness being different. I mean, I'll take joy. That, right on. Like, if you get hung up on that word happiness, right on. Jesus will give you joy that regardless of your circumstances, it'll stay. But where you're searching for it, it can't be found. I love what the woman says. And maybe this is where you are today. Look at verse 29. Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? Isn't this amazing? She's not yet a believer. And she's still telling people about Jesus. That's crazy, right? Some of you are like, I've been a believer for 10 years and I ain't told nobody about Jesus yet, you know? And Willie already gave it to you, so I'm not going to give it to you yet, right? Like Pastor Willie already gave that this morning. But she's like, could this be the Christ? And I just want to celebrate with you today that if there's curiosity rising up in your heart, I want to celebrate that curiosity. If you're saying, could this Jesus thing be real today? Could this be real? If there's some little flash of insight in your heart and soul, and I just want to celebrate that with you today. And I want to encourage you, take another step. Take another step. Read the Bible. Come to church and listen and ask the hardest questions you can ask. And dig in and listen and dial in. Could this be the Christ that she asked? And then I love what happens next. And this is the picture for what we're dreaming about for Real Life Sango. This woman, she needed to encounter Jesus. And that's what this church is all about. It's about creating a space. That's why we're going to 2 services in October. It's not just so you can sleep in and come to the 10:30, right? Although I know some of you are giving me a hallelujah for that, right? But it's so we can create more room for more people to encounter Jesus who satisfies the soul, who gives living water. We want to create more room for more people so they can encounter Jesus who changes our life, who transforms our life. And then our dream is that people will encounter Jesus at Real Life Sango and they'll go out into the town and they'll begin to tell people, Jesus changed my life. I was depressed. Now I'm lifted up, right? I didn't have joy any days and now I got it like 3 days out of the week. I'm making progress here. I lived my life in this cycle of guilt and shame and Jesus has freed me from my guilt and shame. You got to come meet this Jesus. I don't know him that well yet. I just met him last week at Real Life, but I want you to meet the Jesus that just freed me from my shame. That's our dream for this church, is that you will encounter Jesus and that you'll tell your Jesus story and that many people in this community and in the surrounding communities and to the ends of the earth will believe because you've encountered Jesus and because you've told others your Jesus story. Right on. That's what I'm praying for. That's what I'm dreaming about. That's what I'm believing God for. And this crazy last year, I was talking with one of my pastor buddies, Derek Smith, pastor at Living Hope Baptist Church. And I asked Pastor Derek this week, they're celebrating next week 150 years, right? Today we're celebrating one, right? Next week they celebrate 150 years. And I asked him, I said, hey, what's the oldest member of your church, you know? And he said, we got some people that were here in the 40s. In the 40s. And that's what I'm praying God will do at Real Life Sango. Is that 150 years from now, we'll all be gone. But your great-great-granddaughter will be on the front row. And your great-great-grandson will be on the back row. And your great-great-nephew will be running the sound. Right? And your great-great-great-granddaughter will be singing a beautiful chorus. And hopefully they won't be in this school anymore. God bless our loadout team, right? Right? Practically, how are we going to do it? Can I just tell you just a couple quick things? We need 4 more people to serve in Real Life Kids as we go to a second service on the 6th. 4. For the second service. We need 4 more people to serve on the loadout team. So that means you would attend the second service and you would serve on the loadout team. And then we need 1 person that'll brew coffee during the first hour so that people can enjoy it in the second. All right? That's all we need by way of volunteers to launch the second service. Because of you guys. Because you've stepped up and you said, I'll serve. I want to serve. I want to serve. That's the way it gets done. Church, I love you. And this is just the beginning. This is just the beginning. God has a bright future ahead of us. And brothers, thank you for challenging us, telling us the story of the early days. What a privilege it is to enter into what God is doing. We're going to celebrate by watching a video of the past year. You just go nuts, all right? If you see your child being baptized, come on. Let's shout to the Lord and give him praise. We're going to roll the video, and then we're going to have a couple of baptisms. So enjoy this.